we tend to call it the Lake Chad Basin, because Lake Chad, which has very much shrunk in size, there is a big environmental issue, but that's not the reason we are calling it the Lake Chad Basin. It's because there are four countries affected, primarily in terms of people and space. It's northeastern Nigeria. But just north of that, you have Niger, which is very much a part of the Sahel, this very dry, deserty environment. Again, with a lot of poverty and people who are already struggling for food and the ability to survive. There's Chad, which of course has its capital right on the lake, and there's northern Cameroon, and the far north of Cameroon juts right up into this area. And as a result of the many years of protracted, very deep and violent conflict perpetrated by Boko Haram, all this area has become vulnerable, not just because of all the chronic issues which so often attend this area for people and their ability to survive, but because there has been such deprivation of people's ability to access food, where people have been raised from their homes. So we've had 2.3 million people who have had to flee their homes, and we're now left following a more successful security operation to seek to reverse and defeat Boko Haram and to release the people who've been trapped. That has now revealed enormous humanitarian need just for the basics of living and for the protection, particularly of women and girls.
How much do you estimate is needed to help these people who are suffering?
Well, we're looking at about 11 million people, or just under, who need our humanitarian help. And we've estimated that to meet the immediate needs, this is to help young children. There are about 500,000 children, babies, who are now suffering from severe acute malnutrition. So we need about $1.5 billion US dollars to meet the needs of that 10.7 million people. But about 8.5 million of that are in northeastern Nigeria, centered around the three states of Borno, Yobe, and Adamawa, where the biggest town, the biggest city, is Maiduguri.
How hopeful are you that humanitarian workers will continue to be able to access these areas, since Boko Haram is still fighting in Nigeria?
This is a really important point, and I think we should first salute and pay tribute to the enormous numbers of people who are supporting life and protection, particularly of women and girls, through their enormous commitment to being there. And so, given that we have already scaled up, there's more that we can do if we have the funding to support it. So the opportunity we have at this gathering in Oslo is to say there's a big partnership to be had here between those of us who have been calling for enormous amounts of support in this area for these people in Nigeria, in Chad, in Niger, in Cameroon, to make sure that we can meet the needs of people as they go through terrible suffering through no fault of their own. And that's why we need the money. We need the cash. And that's why we're calling on member states to be generous in making sure that this appeal is funded. Last year, the appeal that we had for this area was around 50% funded. That means we can only do about half what we know needs to be done. And of course, the needs are getting greater all the time as more and more of these terrible humanitarian needs are being revealed as the security activities against Boko Haram are coming through. But yes, it's a very hostile and dangerous environment. But I pay tribute to the continuing efforts and bravery of the aid workers who, despite their own losses, stay and deliver for the people in need.
As you say, the crisis has been unfolding for several years now, and the UN has been trying to shed light on this issue. And yet the appeals are always underfunded. What are you doing differently this year to help people understand that this is a really pressing issue, as important as what's happening in Syria and elsewhere?
Well, you're absolutely right to make sure that everybody appreciates that however generous people have been in the past, and however many lives have been saved, and however many girls and women in particular, but also young boys from being recruited as child soldiers, have been protected from the abominable, unspeakable violence that has been perpetrated by Boko Haram and its followers in that area. All that is to be enormously valued and given credit for. But it is nothing compared to what we know still needs to be done. And more is needing to be done all the time as we find out more of the humanitarian needs. And so when you say, what are we doing differently? Well, the main thing is to continually make sure that we are a strong voice for the people in need, that we advocate for what needs to be done, that we have a clear set of plans that show with confidence that we are ready and can, with capacity, get to the people in need. And that's why it is credible and right that we call for the financial resources to support that. We don't have any money of our own. All the UN, all the international and national NGOs, agencies, aid workers, we all need in effect to be funded by generous donor income, whether that's the broad mass of people through taxed receipts that come through donor agencies, or indeed through the private sector and individual donations. But it's those big member state donations that are the ones that really matter to be able to meet this kind of scale. 1.5 billion in order to try and meet the needs of 10.7 million people. And it has to be done now. The needs are tonight. The needs are today.